This morning, why don't you turn with me in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6. Boy, chapter 6, 7, and 8, powerful, powerful chapters in Romans. And we're going to deal with the entire chapter tonight. I'm going to read a few verses, but I'm really going to key in on three in particular. But this morning, the title of the message is Reckoning the Old Man Dead. Now, that's not talking to you wives who feel like you have a bummer husband. We're not talking about that. Reckoning the old man dead. We're talking about our old sin nature, and that's put in the King James. And so if you've got your Bibles, why don't you look at verse 3. Let's pick it up there. It says, "Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, in order that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old self," or our old man in the King James, "was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer is master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives unto God. Even so, consider yourselves, or reckon yourself, or reckon the old man, to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." Father, we do pray, Lord, that you would touch our hearts and our lives with just the incredible truth of we have been, Lord, it's in the past tense, we have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer we that live, but Christ lives in us. And because we've been crucified, that old nature is put on the cross with him. You tell us to consider or reckon it to be so, that it's true in our lives, and that we don't have to present ourselves to sin any longer, but we can present ourselves, as we're doing this morning, to you and the spiritual things into righteousness. So, Lord, we do pray that you open your word to our heart, that we might be different people when we leave this place than when we came in. In Jesus' name, we pray. Years ago, I read a story about years ago in the pioneering days of aviation. A pilot was making a coast-to-coast flight. And after he had gone roughly 2 hours from the last landing field, he heard in the plane what he recognized as a gnawing of a rat. He realized that the last landing field, a rat had crawled into the plane. He imagined the rat chewing through vital flight control cables. It was a serious situation. He was both concerned and anxious. It was 2 hours back to the field, and he had left in over 2 hours to the next landing field. What would he do? He remembered rats are rodents and not made for high altitudes, but to live on the ground and under the ground. So he began to climb. He went up 1,000 feet higher, then 2,000 feet higher. He kept climbing until he was at 20,000 feet. The gnawing stopped. The rat was dead, unable to survive the upper atmosphere. More than 2 hours later, the pilot landed at the next destination and discovered, in fact, the rat was dead. Great spiritual impact from this rat story. It is. You see, our Christian life, sometimes we feel like this pilot. You know, we're doing so well at first. We're experiencing the victory. For a time, we're soaring in the heavenly clouds in this spiritual atmosphere, and then suddenly, like a rat that begins gnawing away at the cables of our faith, all of a sudden we think, what's happened? this rodent of our old life seems to threaten us and bring us down and crash land. You see, we wonder, will we ever have victory over the flesh? What went wrong? Why is the flesh, as Christians, so seemingly invincible? That's what we'll look at this morning. Because the answer, it lies not just in the passages here, but we have to go chapter 6, 7, and 8. So hopefully you'll be with us in the evening. But this pretty much capsulizes what we're talking about. And so those chapters, 6 through 8, were given instruction on not so much doing more, but going higher. Going higher, gaining altitude in our spiritual lives to defeat the enemy and experience God's power. It's always going higher. It's always coming closer to the Lord. It's not you doing more. You think, why am I so defeated? I've got to do more. I'm going to make a pledge with God. No, it's not that. It's going higher. You see, we've already, let me rehearse a little bit where we've been if you're new with us. We've discovered beginning in chapter 3 of Romans, verse 21, through chapter 5, that we are saved. And we're free. It's a free gift. We're saved and the penalty of sin because of our faith in Christ has been dealt with. Christ on the cross. And then buried and then raised from the dead. Because we have faith in that, the penalty has been taken care of. Jesus took care of it for us. But now, after that, after the fact, okay, Bill, he's dealt with a penalty. That's great. Well, what about my Christian life now? I still find myself stumbling. You see, that's where chapter 6 to 8, we learn that we are also delivered from the power of sin. The power of sin that keeps us doing the old things. You see, and it's by the same way, just as you were saved by faith, you're kept by the power of God through faith. Because you've got a new life. That's what he says. The old is crucified with Christ. The new has come. And you can live in the power of that new life as you soar higher, not doing more. You see, it's having faith in the facts of what heaven says about you, about me. It's not trusting in your fleshly feelings. Boy, we feel a lot of different things that are contrary to the Word of God. And if we lived our Christian life by our feelings, man, we would fail every single day. You see, that's what he's saying. We're to trade the truth in the Word of God for our human experiences and feelings. You see, it's not just to tell yourself the right thing. No, you're basing this on the fact of what God says. You see, wrong thinking is going to lead to a defeated Christian life. The first five chapters, well, they've set the foundation for our Christian walk, for our Christian walk, our salvation. And so if you're a believer in Christ, you've got that solid foundation. We've discovered that no one has ever lived a perfect life before God. We've all sinned and fallen short of God's standard of perfection. No one can say that they were perfect. So because of that, because we're not, we were all under condemnation and deserving the penalty of death and eternal separation. But God pitied us. He saw man in that state, and he saw our condition. And by his great love, he sent his son, Jesus Christ, who lived the perfect life, and he paid the perfect price of death on the cross for our sin and our redemption. You see, redemption, being brought back into a relationship with God. He took upon himself all the sins that we've ever committed or any human being has ever committed. He was buried. He rose again from the dead the third day. And all who believe in him shall be forgiven. They have forgiveness of sin. You see, that's the foundation we stand upon. And we're declared justified. Or the gavel in heaven with the Father, he put it down, he said, bam, not guilty. Bill, all those that believe in Jesus Christ here at Calvary Chapel or all those around the world, who believe in Jesus Christ, not guilty. You are judicially declared right before God. So, these first five chapters tell us all that we have been delivered from, which is the penalty of sin. We don't have to deal with the penalty of sin. We don't even have to think of that. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So God will not account any sin that you've ever committed or I've committed against me because Jesus took the penalty for that sin. Your salvation dealt with the penalty. That's the good news. But what about the power of sin? Okay, I'm saved, Bill, but sometimes I sure don't feel saved. I feel like my mind goes in all different directions and so contrary to God and so contrary to His Word. What about that? What about the power of sin that sin has in and over my life? How can I be delivered from that influence and that control? You know what? It is possible to have victory over sin. The Bible says that we can. And it's by reckoning. We read it. We're going to get into it. But it's by reckoning the old man, the old life, the old sin nature, dead, and now living in the power of that new life that is provided for us from God, that new life in Christ. That's an act of faith. Oh, you came to Christ in faith. You're saved. You're going to heaven. But now, what about that victory that we can have to live that abundant life? Well, that's what we're going to talk about. That's what Paul talks about. Because so many Christians, they're going to heaven, but they live a life of defeat. It's kind of a carnal Christian existence. They live on this lower level, a life in the flesh where sin and the old nature seem to constantly be getting the best of them. Never able to kind of soar to those heavenly heights and live there. They're never able to experience that new life that maybe they hear about, maybe they read about, that new life of victory in Christ, but they seem to always be falling back into defeat. The rat of sin gnawing away, the rodent of the old nature bringing them down. You know, when you think about the Old Testament, that's pretty much what happened to the Jews when God brought them out of Egypt, that place of bondage and sin, and wanted to take them in to the promised land to live that abundant life, that land that was flowing with milk and honey. They were delivered from the bondage of Egypt. That's one thing, to be delivered, which was a type of sin, on their way to the promised land, but they never made it. They never made it because of unbelief. And that promised land, God painted the picture. It was so beautiful. It was so wonderful. There were vineyards they had not planted. There were houses they had not built. There were cisterns they had not dug. And it was only an 11-day journey to get there. Just 11 days, and they could have that abundance that God wanted for them. But they wandered for 40 years. Why? Because they didn't believe God's promises. They didn't put faith in the unseen, what God was doing. And you know, there are Christians, they're saved, they're going to heaven, but they've been wandering for 40 years in this wilderness. And the flesh seems to just bring them down constantly. And you see, when we frustrate the grace and the promises of God because of unbelief, that's what happens, not only to Israel, but also to the Christian person. You see, God would bring them in if they simply, back then in the Old Testament, if they simply walked in that new life that He provided. Their clothes didn't wear out. He brought water from the rock. He brought quail. I mean, He just brought an abundance to them. But instead, they walked in their carnal minds, their carnal ways. They resisted Him. They grumbled. I know some Christians that grumble a lot about their life and God. You see, they grumbled over their circumstances and the conditions that they were in. And they walked. They walked in their own carnality, in their own ways. And the Bible says God gave them desires of their flesh, but He brought leanness to their soul. How many Christians are saved? They've got the foundation, but there's a leanness in their life because they don't walk in the promises of God, or they don't walk in the will and what God says about them, but they're a slave to their emotions and their feelings. And it's always going to be contrary to the Word of God. That's where Paul's going with this, and that's where we're going this morning. You see, there was the flesh life that the children of Israel were living in the wilderness wandering. It was a kind of a carnal believism. Well, they kind of believed God. They kind of trusted God. At least they're in the wilderness. Oh, they wanted to go back. They kept threatening to go back and complaining against God. You see, God got them out of Egypt, but he couldn't get Egypt out of them. You see, and that's a big deal. God gets us out of the world to live a life for him and all that he has for us, but sometimes he can't get the world out of us, that old life out of us, and we long for those things as they did. You see, they kept looking back. Oh boy, we really missed the leeks and the garlics, you know, all that food we had. Yeah, but did you miss the hard taskmaster? Did you miss the loneliness and the burden that you had to bear? Sometimes we only remember those, you know, fleeting good things, but we don't remember the hurt, the pain that we were dealing with. They complained how hard it is to enter this new life. Oh, will we ever enter it in? You know, do we do that? Oh, how hard. I know he's given us the new life, but it's so hard. And so they, because they didn't believe, they wandered aimlessly in a life of defeat. You know, it's so sad today. There are Christians, people that God has saved from the penalty of sin, but many of them are ruled by the power of the sin life. They're still living in their mind or even in their actions. And all the time, God has given them victory through the cross. And if they have faith in what Jesus has done, they can live that victorious Christian life. Now, Paul says that the flesh life, it need not rule over us. And he tells us how to deal with it. But it's all in faith. It's without faith, it's impossible to please God, for we must believe who God is, and he's the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And so he tells us how to deal with it. He instructs us how to, you might say, kill the rat of carnality of sin and the rodent of the old life. But the fact is, it's already done. It's already done. You don't have to do it. It's done. The old nature is dead. That's what he's saying. And Paul points out the spiritual reality of the old life has been crucified with Christ. No longer I live, but Christ lives in me. You see, those are words of faith. Those are supernatural words. A carnal person, a person that's just dabbling with religion, they can't live in that. They don't know it. Those are just words to them. This happens by the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, what Paul does, and here's kind of the cool thing this morning, how God has led us to this passage. We've got a baptism after the second service, you know, right around 12:30 or so. But Paul uses baptism as an illustration of the reality of this spiritual truth of the old life being dead and the new life in Christ alive and in its place. He says in verse 3, that those who have been baptized in Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death. Meaning our old life of sin died with Christ on the cross. That's what baptism is all about. It's burying the old life, the old man, coming forth in newness of life. That's what he's talking about. And then raised in that place of that new life with God. He says in verse 4, as Christ was raised from the dead, so you too might walk in newness of life. So we've our old nature put on the cross with Christ. We go down in baptism to bury that old life, identifying with Christ, coming up in newness of life. That's what he says. Unfortunately, not everyone walks in that newness of life. You see, as believers, and the Bible tells us again in Romans, it says, how shall we who have died to sin live in it any longer? It's kind of, hold it, you've died to sin, how can you live in sin? You're dead and you're living. We'll deal with that more tonight. But he's just simply making that statement. As believers, we're in Jesus. We're in his death, his burial, his resurrection. The truth in heaven is that the old life of sin was put to death with Christ on the cross, and in its place, a new life emerged. A new life with Christ in his resurrection. So how do we make that real in our life? Bill, those are just words. I mean, I hear that. Sounds nice, but it just, it's kind of, isn't it kind of, you know, etherical or kind of spacey? And how do I appropriate that into my life? How do I experience that reality? I like what you're saying. I want to experience it. Okay, here's how. Here's what Paul says. Notice in verse 6, knowing this, that our old self, our old nature, was crucified with him, that our body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. He says, know this. It's a fact in heaven. Right now in heaven, it's a fact. If you're a Christian, your sin nature has been crucified with Christ. That's a fact in heaven. He says, know this. Our old self was crucified. That sin nature is out of business. That's what that word means. Katargeo. It means severed, terminated, unemployed. That leading source of sin is done away with. That's what he's saying. It's, know this, the old self was crucified, the body of sin might be done away with. In other words, the machinery that generates, you know, the desire and you know, grabbing on to the sins, that machinery is dismantled. That's what he's saying when our old nature was put on the cross with Christ. Remember in the Prohibition days, they used to have those films of Eliot Ness and the Untouchables. They would go and not only break all the bottles of alcohol and those big barrels and stuff, but they have to go after the distilleries because there were a lot of bootleggers. And so they had to find the stills and break those down so you couldn't produce the alcohol. That's what God's has done. He's gone in and he's broken down. He's destroyed. He's destroyed and dismantled the machinery to get us to continue on in our sin nature. That's what he's saying. Your old self, your old sin nature was crucified with Christ. You no longer have to be a slave to it. You don't have to, is what he's saying. The old man, if you like, the old nature, the carnal mind, the lustful desires, those drives that drove our thoughts and activities, they're cut off. He says it's cut off, it's pulled. You know, the cable is pulled, the engine is shut down, disconnected. That's the fact in heaven. That's how God sees us. You might say, well, I don't see myself like that. Yeah, well, let's get to the next step. And maybe this morning you will. You see, God asks us to believe things that we don't see, you know, or feel. We don't necessarily feel that, but they're heavenly realities. You see, have faith in what is, because it's in heaven, and also is to be in our life. That which God will bring into existence in your life. And maybe in some areas he has already. You see that, wow, there has been progress, but Bill, there's certain areas of my life I don't have victory over. Okay, I understand that. You know, but God has done it, and he's going to do it, bring it into existence in our life. Those things in heaven that are brought down to earth to be a reality in every believer's life. You see, the Bible tells us in Psalm 119, 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. So it's settled in heaven. It's done with God. He's up there. He knows it's done. Now we're on earth. We've got to deal with it. Well, so did every, man or woman of God, in the past. They had to do the same thing that we do. We have a greater advantage than them because we see all those examples. And we now have the Holy Spirit in us, so it should be easier for us to believe and have faith than for them. But you think of Noah. Noah, by faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not seen, in reverence, built an ark. Noah was mocked, laughed at, but Noah built an ark. He didn't see it, but in faith, he did it. Abraham and Sarah, they had Isaac as the promised child, but without becoming weak in faith, Romans 4:19, which we dealt with a couple weeks ago, without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith. You see, it's always a faith factor. It's always faith in the unseen, what God says about our condition and about our situation. Well, I used Israel coming out of Egypt and into the promised land. Yeah, the promise was there for them, the promised land, but they didn't believe, so they wandered. You see, in a lot of Christians, they will hear messages, but somehow they get distracted or somehow they don't put faith in the unseen, and they wander. Oh, they are going to heaven because they put faith in Christ, but they're wandering. And it's where they could have victory. The problem is we still have desires. You see, those desires are contrary to everything I'm saying and what God says about us. Totally contrary to the promises of God, the word of God, God's will. Our sin nature screams loud and clear. Doesn't it? And you go, how is this possible, Bill? It's a fact in heaven. Now it's your part. Now it's your part. So God says, reckon the old man, the old nature dead. Because it's true in heaven, then you in faith apply that to your life. Notice what he says in verse 11, even so, consider yourself or reckon the old man to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. You see, if we had no sinful thoughts or carnal desires, there'd be no need to reckon. There wouldn't be a need to put faith in what he's saying here. But we see with Paul, as it is with us and every believer in Christ, that rodent of sin, that rat of fleshly desire, it wants to gnaw away at God's truth in our life. That you have been old nature crucified with Christ. You don't have to live under that dominion. So now reckon the old nature, the old man. Consider that nature dead. You see, reckoning or considering is an accounting term. If you go to the bank, you put in some money in the bank, you can draw on that account. And then if you have a yes check, wow, that's a savior, isn't it? They'll put money in, if you overdraft, and they charge you just a few pennies, as you come and pay it off. At least you don't have a insufficient fund thing to deal with. But what you put in the bank, that is an accounting term. And so in our life, our spiritual life, we're taking that position of faith. We're reckoning what is true in heaven into our life. We're reckoning it to our account in faith. Account the fact that you are dead to sin and dead to those fleshly desires that seek to control your life. This is not wishful thinking. Some might think that, but they're absolutely wrong. This is fact-based thinking. If you believe in the Word of God, it's fact-based thinking. This is true in heaven. So we put that fact to our life. You see, also accounting yourself not just dead to that old sin nature, but now alive. You put in its place, you're alive to God. that new life, that new desire. Just as Christ is raised from the dead, I mean, if you believe Christ was raised from the dead, I do. You were raised in newness of life. That's what he's saying. Raised from the dead, never to die again. It's a fact. And so too, you must take that position of faith that your old sin nature is dead, put on the cross, and that new life is now within you. You can live that new life that we have in Christ. You see, when a sinful desire from that old nature comes to you, and oh, it will, it's called temptation, you don't have to give in. You don't have to live out that lifestyle anymore. But you can take that position of faith. You can reckon the old nature dead because it's true in heaven, and that new life because Christ is raised from the dead. And you can take that position of faith based on what is true from the Word of God and true in heaven. Now, you say, Bill, I am too weak. You know, a lot of what you're talking about, you're kind of putting it in theological order, but I am just way too weak. You know, I've given in so many times in the past. Well, I would say maybe you have. And maybe you failed. Maybe you failed miserably over and over again. But you know what? Today's a new day. Today's a new revelation in Christ. Today is a new work of the Spirit in your life. And if you take that position of faith from this point on, from this day on, if you take that position of faith, knowing that the old man, the old nature is crucified, you reckon it to be so, and you come into that place, you will find in time that reality of that new life, because Christ is raised from the dead, is now superseded that old sin nature. You'll find that the reality of that new life, dead to sin, alive to Christ, becomes a lifestyle for you. That's the truth, and that's what God will do. God acts. He acts when we put faith in the facts of heaven and apply it to our life. He delivers us. He sets us free from that. I live close to Sandy Beach, and when it's too windy or there's no surf, I'm usually down to Sandy Beach to go body surfing and stuff. And sometimes the waves can get pretty treacherous down there, and it's in the nation, it's the number one neck and back injury, a lot of broken backs and broken necks and so forth. But, you know, I love the power of the waves, and I love, you know, being down there and that. But one of the things that, I don't know, maybe it's just my old carnal nature. But sometimes tourists will get a little too close to the waves, and they don't realize, you know, I'll watch a set come up, and yet on the shore, the surge is down, you know, and they'll go get a little bit close, and then, you know, oh, this is going to wipe them out, you know, and so they get swept off their feet, and in my heart, I'm just, you know, I'm having a good time. You know, and they get washed up the beach. I know they're not going to drown. And then they get rolled back down, and they're flailing away. You know, and I don't know, maybe it's just me. I would pay to see that show. But anyway, they roll back down the beach, and they're just, you know, and then another wave comes, and finally they crawl up on the beach, you know, and they're kind of rescued from it. And you know they're not going to go out and drown or anything, but it's just kind of an interesting thing. But you see, I have to make it through the waves too to get to shore. But I found one thing you do. When that surge comes up, you take your stance and face the beach, and you know, as it's pulling you both ways, just take that stance, you know, you get your fins, and pretty soon it'll release you, and then you run up the beach. Maybe there's a second wave that's going to get you, but take the stance, you know, and face the beach, and you'll get up the beach. That's what I'm telling you this morning. Take your stance of faith. Face the Lord. The old nature is dead. It's on the cross. And in its place, there's a new life in Christ. That's what the Bible is saying. And you might say, well, why does God take so long in my life? You know, I've tried so hard. Well, that's the reason he's taking so long. Because we get in the way. We think we can handle. And God just simply waits for us to give up. And then he works so that he gets the glory and we don't boast that we overcame this, and we're such a spiritual giant. Any person knows that if they've gone on in the Lord long enough, that it is not them. It is by the mercy and the grace of God that He has kept them, and they're still moving forward, and they're going to keep moving until they're face to face with the Lord, because they know they have plenty of friends that haven't made it. And why? Well, you know, when we try to handle ourselves, you know, we're going to find that we really make a mess of things. And He works so He gets the glory, or He just takes the hands off when we forget our position in faith and we yield to the flesh, and then God chastens us. And we talked about that on Wednesday night, didn't we, about David? David with his whole thing with Bathsheba and having her husband killed and that whole deal. How God chastens those He loves and disciplines every son and daughter that He receives. And so when we yield to the flesh, you know, and we don't walk in the Spirit, He just kind of lets us do that so we might learn the lesson. We learn the lesson, find in that place of defeat that He might teach us to walk in the Spirit and make no provision for the flesh. He's always in that teaching mode. Here's the last thing as we end, verse 13. And again, as I mentioned tonight, we'll deal verse by verse and we'll hit these and then go on with the entire chapter. But He says in verse 13, do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those alive from the dead and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. You see, that's the practical thing we do. We present ourselves in a practical way, not to the old sin dens. We don't go there. We don't present ourselves to the old lifestyle of sin. But we present this new life in Christ. We present this new life in the Spirit, what we're doing this morning. You showed up at church. Maybe you were a little reluctant, but God wanted you here, so God got you here. And you presented yourself to Him in the Spirit. You see, it's not putting yourself any longer. He says, don't present yourself to the old ways, because that old way is crucified and you're new in Christ, but present yourself to the things of the Lord. You don't present yourself to those places of temptation, those old hangouts, those unrighteous websites. You don't do that. You see, I know some people in our congregation are fighting strong battles in the flesh. Really, really hard battles. You've been struggling, you've been wrestling a long time. The Bible knows that. You're not alone. The Bible knows that. In fact, Galatians, Paul says, for the flesh sets its desires against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, for these are in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things that you please. Here, the flesh doesn't want you to please God. And then here, the Lord striving to bring you along in this spiritual walk. He knows that. And you know, Paul knows that. Because when we get to chapter 7, amazing chapter, Paul describes his own struggles. He struggles like we struggle, wanting to serve the Lord and be right with God. But he finds this powerful force that keeps him from doing what he knows is right. You see, you may be struggling that way, as Paul did, with the weakness of the flesh and the temptation to go against what is right, what you know is right with the Lord. As Jesus said to Peter, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Oh boy, do we know that? That's true. It was true in Peter, true in Paul, true in you, and true in me. You wonder, does it have to go on forever, Bill? I mean, am I just resigned to living this, you know, carnal life of defeat until I'm face to face with the Lord, being a slave to my flesh? You know, will I wander in the wilderness? You talked about the Hebrews there in the wilderness. Will I wander in the wilderness until the Lord comes for me, or can I have victory? Absolutely, you can have victory. Assuredly, you can have victory. God says you can triumph over the old life and take that position of faith. You can, knowing that the old self was crucified, then reckoning, taking that position of faith, accounting it to your account that the old man is dead and there's a new life, a new man, a new person, man or woman, in the place of that. Then present yourself, as you're doing this morning, present yourself to the things of God, not to the old places of temptation and sin, but to those things of the Spirit, those things where you can grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, and you will find the victory will come. Greater is He, you'll discover, greater is He who is in you than he who is in the world. I love the illustration years ago when I was going through the chapters that we're looking at now. The little train, it had three cars. It had the engine, the coal car, and the caboose. Remember that? The engine was called faith. The coal car was called, the engine was called fact. The coal car was called faith. And the caboose was called feeling. That's what we're talking about. The fact you've been crucified with Christ and you've been risen with Christ in new life. That's the fact in heaven. The coal car of faith, believe it. You feed on the word of God and you feed that engine with the coal car of faith. And then feelings, well, they just follow behind. But you know, if that train is going up a steep hill or an incline, and it's a long incline, and you stop feeding that faith to that engine, and you let the caboose, the feelings, dictate, you find that train, if it starts going backwards and the caboose is now leading, it's soon going to derail. You see, because in our life, it's the fact of God's word. It's putting faith in that, and the feelings come along. Remember, it's not doing more. I'm not saying do more. I'm saying go higher. In the spiritual atmosphere where God lives, and you live with Him. You live with Him in that new life, defeating those rodents of carnality that want to gnaw away, you know, at your spiritual life and the rats of the old sin nature. He's finding out the fact that you're dead, crucified with Christ, and that new life waiting to be lived out, and God will do it in you. Let's pray. Father, I pray what I just said out of your scripture would not be theory, would not be confusing, Lord, but I pray that your Holy Spirit would make a way into each one of our hearts. Lord, I need it as much as the youngest Christian in our fellowship needs it. So, Father, I do pray that you'd translate into life those things that are spoken. And, Lord, we depend upon your Holy Spirit to do just that. Lord, that we're really lost without you. Lord, it's a hopeless situation if we have to live this Christian life, the things that we talk about in the energy of our own flesh or our own ability. And so, Lord, we do pray this morning that you come and visit your people. Visit those that are struggling, and they have been struggling, Lord, with a flesh life. And I do pray this morning that you would just rivet in their mind, make it real to them, that it is a fact that Jesus did die on the cross. That's a fact. And it's a fact that he took their sin nature on the cross with him, and that he rose from the dead into new life, never to be put to death again, never to die again. And that just as he put that sin nature on the cross, we now, he rose and we are raised with him in newness of life. And so, Lord, let that be a reality in struggling lives and every life. And, Lord, let us craft our life wisely and present ourselves to you in spiritual things and things that build up our most holy faith and not tear down. Let us be wise and not go to places, not go to websites, not go to areas, Lord, that would deplete that strength and that faith that you supply. But Lord, let us be more than conquerors through Christ who loves us. And let me pray for you with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you've never trusted the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, this morning is your morning. And while no one's looking around, and yet I can see your hand raised because I want to pray for you. If you're here and you'd like to trust Christ as your Lord and Savior, lift your hand up and I want to pray for you right where you're seated. God bless you. And anyone else, lift it high. Don't be shy. God bless you. Ma'am, I see you. Anyone else saying, yes, Lord, I pray you come into my heart. Forgive my sin. Lord, give me a home in heaven. That's what we're praying. And if you're not sure that you don't have that, you can have that. God bless you. I see you too. Ma'am, anyone else saying yes to Jesus? Yes to Jesus. Praise the Lord. I see you back there on the side as well. Father, we do thank you, Lord, for those lifted hands and maybe even those hearts, Lord, that you're drawing right now to yourself. And if that's you, hands raised or hearts drawn to the Lord, you could pray this prayer after me. It's a prayer of salvation. And simply say, dear Jesus, I thank you this morning for your word. I thank you for loving me and shedding your blood that I might be saved. So I turn from sin and I turn to you in repentance. I thank you for dying on the cross for me, and I thank you for loving me. I pray this morning that you would come into my heart and be my Lord and be my Savior. I pray you fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to live the rest of my life for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.